Now, the Mike Smith Show continues.
All right, let's talk about the bombshell court rulings that have rocked British Columbia, especially over issues of Indigenous rights and title and private property rights in British Columbia. We had the court ruling that awarded Indigenous ownership to part of the city of Richmond, to the Cowichan tribes of Vancouver Island. We had the court ruling that struck down British Columbia's Mineral Tenures Act because it did not comply with the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, which has been passed into law in British Columbia. The BC government saying they are fighting back against these court rulings. BC Premier David Eby says they're appealing the Cowichan ruling in Richmond. They're going to rewrite the DRIPA legislation, the UN Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People. They're going to amend that legislation so the courts can't strike down our own laws. These are huge issues in British Columbia. They loom large over our province right now. And those court rulings are potentially just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much else going on, including some of the land use planning processes that have been going on between the BC government and First Nations in our province. Check this out now. Brixton Metals, a company in British Columbia, they've invested more than $70 million in Northwest BC, saying they have been excluded from talks over land use planning with the Tahltan First Nation in that part of the province. So all most concerning in British Columbia. It's a huge political issue in BC. Let's discuss it with my guest, Chris Gardner. Chris is the president of the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association. And I'm very pleased to welcome him back to the show. Chris, thanks a lot for coming on today.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet, man. Thanks a lot for doing it. These issues are huge in British Columbia now. These court rulings, the land use planning processes that have been going on. How big is this in British Columbia? Is this one of the biggest issues our province faces right now, would you say?
Yeah, I do think it is, because it's fundamental to everything that's part of our economy and broader society and community. So if you think of this, these issues sometimes get caught up into, you know, one business opportunity, whether it's a mine or an energy project. But really this impacts ranchers, farmers, people in the energy and mining sector, property owners generally, the broader public. Foundational to all of this is this very simple question: who owns the land? Yeah. And who has the right to make the decisions on use of that land? And if we can't answer that with certainty, it means that, you know, if you're a small business owner, do you own the land that you bought 20 years ago? Do you own your condo or your townhome or your home? If someone's going to invest, can they be sure if they make an investment? You mentioned Brixton Mines. They've invested, tens of millions of dollars over the last 15 years trying to develop that opportunity. And now all of a sudden, the rules are changing. The rug's being pulled out from underneath them. And what happens to the value of that investment? It just disappears. So new investors come along and say, oh, I don't know what's happening in British Columbia. And so therefore, I'm going to pause. So this is putting a chilling effect on lots of different transactions. And many of them aren't making the news. The Wall Street Journal reported out on this. Other international publications are looking at this and reporting out. And so that means international investors are saying, whoa, have we become a jurisdiction in British Columbia that is effectively uninvestable?
Let's talk a little bit about this situation. The listeners may not be familiar with this one. Brixton Metals Corporation and their concerns around being what they don't think they've been adequately consulted in land use planning that's been going on between the province and the Tahltan First Nation in this part of Northwest BC. Can you explain what their concerns are here?
So, you know, Brixton has invested over the past 15 years $70 million, and they've been working with different levels of government, with Indigenous communities, trying to move forward with a mining project. And the government has entered into a land use planning discussion with the Tahltan Nation. Now, to put this in perspective, this particular land that's being discussed represents about 11% of the province of British Columbia. It is an area of land that's slightly larger than the country of Portugal. So it's an enormous piece of land. And so the government and Premier Eby came out and said he wants to wrap all this up within a year. And so what are they discussing? Nobody really knows. This has not been, the public has not been engaged. When Brixton was asked to sit at the table, they felt that they were, you know, they were given, you know, a couple hours on an afternoon, they weren't treated as a partner. They weren't treated as an investor. They were just treated as something to be dealt with, managed off the side. And then if you think of that, this same set of discussions is also going on with two other nations, and combined the three nations represent, you know, the land at stake here is 22% of the province of British Columbia. And the government's casually throwing out things like, you know, joint decision making, co-ownership, and nobody knows what that means. This is fundamentally going to change the rules of the game for how investments are made in British Columbia. Okay. It's injected a lot of uncertainty. I would say a lot of chaos in what's happening across this province.
Okay, well, if David Eby was here right now, Chris, of course, you know what he would say. He would say what they're trying to achieve here is the opposite of chaos. They're trying to achieve some certainty by sitting down and negotiating with Indigenous First Nations in British Columbia over land use policies instead of ending up in court. If a First Nation goes to court and says, we don't like this mine, we don't want this project in our traditional territories, we oppose it, we're going to fight it in court, and then it gets tied up for years in court. Does it not make more sense, as the government says, to sit down and negotiate these things before they end up in court?
Yes, it does, 100%. And we did that with Nishka, and we signed a treaty. We did that with Tawasin, we signed a treaty. And if you think about how we approached major projects like, you know, Site C, the expansion of Trans Mountain Pipeline, LNG Canada, Coastal Gas Link, all of those represented discussions with nations that were successful and led to investment. It provided clarity and certainty. And so what we would say is, first of all, there is no jurisdiction outside of Canada that has basically taken a UN declaration, adopted it, and said all of its laws, which is what Premier David Eby did when he was Attorney General, he led this. All of our laws now have to be read and interpreted to be consistent with the UN declaration. That is insanity. And so we believe that they should repeal that requirement, and they should reinvigorate the treaty negotiation process. We need to have robust discussions and respectful discussions with First Nations. And we can do that. We've shown we can do that. But the problem is that what David Eby's done is he's cast the treaty negotiation process aside and cast aside all of those projects I mentioned where we did have successful agreements and said, we are now going to go on a different path. And it's very radical, and I would say reckless. And we are all paying a heavy price in terms of the uncertainty and the chaos and the confusion. And so when the court basically said that, you referenced the Court of Appeal decision, the highest court in British Columbia, read the Mineral Tenure Act in so that it was consistent with the legislation they passed, the UN Declaration. And the Premier turned around and said, oh, they're overreaching. This is dramatic. We're going to consider amendments. We're going to consider amendments. After the Cowichan decision, the Premier did nothing. He talked a good game about, oh, we're going to protect private property rights. He's done nothing. He could go to the BC Court of Appeal and ask for a reference case on this to clarify all of this. The only thing he's done, he said, we will appeal. We will appeal. We'll take 5, 6, 7 years to figure out where the state of property rights is in British Columbia.
Well, didn't he say, okay, he said that they are going to appeal the Cowichan ruling that awarded Indigenous title to part of the city of Richmond to the Cowichan tribes. He said, we're going to appeal that. Yeah. He also said, we're going to ask for a stay, right? He also said that they've been consulting with private landowners in Richmond to see if they've been impacted on this, or they've been having difficulty getting a mortgage, et cetera. So he hasn't done nothing, I would suggest to you. But let's listen to Eby here on this point, then I'll get your thoughts. So this is David Eby saying, like, look, he's as worried as anyone else around these court rulings on an Indigenous land ownership. Let's listen.
We're going to fight hard to defend private property for British Columbians. People's homes and businesses shouldn't be on the block when it comes to court decisions or government negotiations.
Okay, so he's saying private property should not be on the table for court rulings or for government negotiations either. And he said in another speech, we're going to go to the wall to protect private property rights. What do you say to that?
Well, what I say is, he was the Attorney General when he brought in the legislation. He knows the law and he knows it very well. So for him to turn around now and say, I didn't think the courts would do this, or the courts are overreaching, is quite disingenuous. In terms of private property rights, he could bring a reference case to the BC Court of Appeal. And rather than just say, I'm going to appeal, he could go right straight to the BC Court of Appeal. They would hear it on an expedited basis. We would have clarity within less than a year. Instead, he says, we're going to drag this out in the courts for another 5, 6, or 7 years. So I think you see this pattern with David Eby. They charge down a path and then say, oh, we didn't realize this would happen, or we didn't realize that would happen. The reality is they're doing most of this in secret. They're not consulting with the public. They're not consulting with stakeholders. All of these negotiations are happening behind closed doors. There needs to be more transparency, broader public discussion, and a responsible government would pause all of this, take a step back, and reinvigorate the treaty process and negotiate modern treaties with nations that make sense and that are respectful, where there's some balance. We have nearly 6 million British Columbians, and we've got a government now that's talking about effectively handing over control to 22% of the province. And I would say 99% of the population of this province has no idea what's going on.
Okay, Chris, please stand by. Let's fit a quick break in right there, and then we'll have some more time on the other side. I'm speaking to Chris Gardner. Chris is the president of the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association. We're talking about the battle over who owns the land in British Columbia, who makes the decisions over land use in our province, the bombshell court rulings on Indigenous rights and title and land ownership in British Columbia. One thing to keep in mind is, you know, I often get emails and calls from listeners saying, well, Indigenous people should not be given special rights. The Indigenous people do have special rights in our country. They're constitutional rights that are protected in our Constitution. There have been a series of high court rulings on rights to Indigenous land, title and ownership, and rights in our country. So this is the reality that we face. Our Constitution, our courts, Indigenous people and First Nations do have special rights. We have to confront that and just decide, how are we going to best go forward here on this huge issue? This is an absolutely huge issue in our province. We take a break. We come back with more. Chris Gardner is my guest. Don't go anywhere.
The Couchin, unfortunately, aspects of that decision have jeopardized that certainty, especially for the 150 homeowners in Richmond. But certainly more broadly, people are like, well, I didn't even think that could be a thing. And so for us, it's about getting clarity from the court as soon as possible, seeking a stay of the decision, appealing the decision, because for us to be successful in the shared work of reconciliation going forward, we do need the support of all British Columbians. And there is support for this work. But that support does have boundaries on it.
That's BC Premier David Eby commenting on that bombshell court ruling that awarded Indigenous ownership to part of the city of Richmond to the Cowichan tribes of Vancouver Island. You heard him describe there, the government says they will appeal it. They're seeking a stay of the ruling so it doesn't come into effect while the appeal proceeds. They're consulting with private homeowners and landowners in Richmond who are affected by this. And you heard him say that a lot of people expressed shock that they didn't even think that this would be a thing, as he put it. Chris Gardner is my guest, president of the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association. Chris, one of the reasons why a lot of people didn't think it would ever be a thing in Richmond was because they weren't told about this case, right? Like a lot of people, homeowners, landowners, property owners in Richmond were shocked by this because they didn't even know what was going on. They weren't consulted on it, right? Your thoughts?
Yeah, they weren't consulted. They weren't informed. They didn't have a chance to participate. I think it just goes to the whole approach of why is all this happening behind closed doors in secret, without the public being involved, without other stakeholders being involved. You know, reconciliation and coming to respectful agreements with First Nations is an important public policy issue. There's no question about that. But why is this process all happening in secret? Like, why don't we have, you know, a reinvigorated modern treaty process? We negotiated a treaty with the Nishka. We negotiated a treaty with Tawasin. We've had great agreements. You know, the Haisla LNG project is a great example of working cooperatively with First Nations. Instead, you know, David Eby and his government got careening down a path that I would say is reckless. And when you start talking about fundamentally changing the decision-making process on 22% of the land in the three nations that they're now negotiating with. Nobody's aware of that. The consequences are enormous for such large parts of our economy. It's irresponsible not to be more open and transparent about this.
Chris, we just got 2 minutes left. We've been talking on the show today about the leadership of the BC Conservative Party. We see more names coming forward of people who want this job. Your name has been mentioned prominently as a potential candidate for this position. Will you run for the leadership of the BC Conservative Party?
Well, listen, I have enormous respect for those who are considering, for those in public life, and there's a lot we can say about people who once they're in public life and the decisions they make, but it's a big decision to make. And because it's an enormous sacrifice personally for your family. And the work is, while rewarding, it's extremely demanding. So not a decision to be made lightly. I haven't made that decision yet. There's nothing I can say.
You're not ruling it out.
I'm not ruling it out. But it's an enormously significant decision. But I'm considering it. There's lots of ways to serve and participate in the public policy debate without being an elected official.
Okay, we're following that very closely. Chris, thanks a lot for coming on today.
Thank you.
All right, that is Chris Gardner, the president of the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association, talking about the controversies over land use in BC, the bombshell court rulings on Indigenous rights and title and land ownership in our province. It's a huge issue for BC.